Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah, chapter 8. We're going to read verses 15 through 22 together. And we will read this passage responsively. Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 15 through 22. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And let's pray. Father, tonight we take the word of God and we will look at a truth. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. May we, with an open heart, with a mind that is focused on truth and by reason of the scriptures, may we allow it to penetrate deep into our hearts, into our minds tonight, please. And would you preserve the health of your people because of it? Would you help us so that we could go out and help others? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Tonight, my plan is not to be controversial. There are many opinions about health, okay? If I took a poll tonight, there's probably about 110 people in the room tonight, I'd probably get 120 opinions about health. Because some of you don't even agree with yourself at times, amen? By the way, I don't plan to start a battle. I don't want you battling with each other over it. Is all I'm going to do is show you what the Bible says. How you interpret it is between you and God, not between you and somebody else. And if you'll let me take the Bible, I think I can help you tonight. Let me start by saying this. The whole purpose for having good health isn't so that you live a long life.
Right.
The purpose that I have for staying healthy, according to that book, is so that I can meet the needs and help as many people as I can in my life. Some of us have the wrong philosophy of health. We want longevity and we think longevity means good health. I know people that have lived a long time that haven't lived with good health. And I know some people that have lived a short time but they had good health. And the purpose of having good health is so that you can maintain and help as many people as you can. And by the way, I want to provide for my family, not just financially. But you know what? If my health is poor, my financial health will be poor as well. But not only that, security. When you're in bad health, you don't provide a lot of security for the people around you. Right. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. If you wake up with the flu, barfing your guts out, there is no security in your house. You're the biggest baby there. Men are the worst patients in the world, amen? Yeah, you pray for Brother Hawkins. He's having foot surgery this week. They're going to remove it from his mouth. Seriously, he is having foot surgery tomorrow. You didn't think you were going to get by all day without that, did you? All right, but he is having surgery tomorrow on his foot. You pray for him. But may I say this, my health will affect my ability to work. My health will affect my finances. My health will affect my ability to serve my family, to serve my church, to serve my friends. By the way, my health will affect my attitude. So I want to stay as healthy as I can to help as many people as I can. Now, this is where we're going to get into a vein of logic, and I need everybody's mind. You teenagers, listen to me very carefully. I know something about ruining part of my health as a young person. When you're 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, you think you're Superman and the bullets will bounce off of you. May I say this? You're taking years off your life when you do that. Some of you need to start using your head and not just your back. Some of you are going to ruin your back for the rest of your life if you don't listen to me. And talk to somebody that's ruined his back when he was young that knows what he's talking about. So if you'll just pay attention, I think I can help you. Now, everybody follow me for a moment. When God created man in the Garden of Eden, he created man to live forever. God made man originally to live forever. This morning in Sunday school, you heard about Noah. He was 500 years old when he began to build the ark, and took him 120 years to build the ark, was in the ark almost a year, and lived for about 330 years after he got off the ark. He lived almost 1,000 years. People don't live like that anymore. Can I tell you why? Sin. The process of sin brings death. But your body was created originally, listen to this, to live forever. That means Adam and Eve, before they sinned, never got sick. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'm going to get two hands full of Adam one day and choke that man in heaven, I think. Good night. That means man would not have aged. That means man would not have gotten old, nor woman, though they never get older. That was slow freight, all right? By the way, when man sinned, he began a process of death. His body began a process of death. Part of the curse of sin is death. Now listen to me. And pay attention to this. Not only was man cursed, not only was the woman cursed, but the earth was cursed. God said he placed a curse on the earth. It began a process of death as well. Now, listen to me. When man chose to sin, a process of death occurred. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 6. I want to show you something. We're going to turn to just a couple verses. Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at verse number 6. Romans chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, and as you're turning, I'm going to read it. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now turn over just two chapters to Romans chapter 8. Notice the Bible says this body of sin. Wow. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now notice, you can be saved, but you're still in a dying body. Hope's not here tonight, but today was her birthday. And we all know she was 40 years old, all right? Now, and I'm teasing with her. I'd done that had she been here, but bless her heart. We say it's our birthday and we've reached this many years of life, and we measure our birth dates by a measure of life. Actually, your life is a measure of death. It is the process of dying. It's how many years did you hang on before it let go of you. So our body begins a process of death. By the way, some never make it out of the womb alive. If I had a raise of hands in here, I'll promise you there's probably at least a dozen babies in heaven that never made it out of the womb of the ladies in this room right now. Promise you. If not more. Though that life was conceived, it began a process of death. Everybody understand? Because we're going somewhere. Listen to me very carefully. Now, we have health issues due to the curse of sin. But not only because of the curse on man's body, but because of the curse on the earth. Let me show you what I mean. We are getting ready to start into what some of you know as the allergy season. If it weren't for the curse of the earth and the pollens that man began to become allergic to because of the weeds and different things, and there were no weeds before sin. So some of your health problems come due to the curse of the... Everybody doing okay? So part of your health issue is due to the earth being cursed. That's just one illustration. By the way, just because you get sick, listen to this statement. I've heard a bunch of... I better not use that word. Strange preachers get up and say, well, you're sick and God's judging you. Just because you got sick doesn't mean God's judging you. You got sick because you're a sinner like everybody else, and you could have got sick because the earth was cursed, not because you were cursed for doing something. Oh, it's a sign. I shouldn't do this. That's not it. Let me say, there's a man sitting in this room, works in the medical profession. He sat in my office. He made this statement to me almost verbatim. Doctors don't know it all. And that's true. But let me also say, herbologists and naturopaths don't know it all either. I don't care what side of the science you're studying, nobody knows it all. Now, before I got everybody mad at me on this one, everybody's in a process of death. And the earth has been cursed as well. The Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. I don't care which route you choose with your health. Listen to this statement. Either way, you're going to die. Either way, you will die. Now, I want everyone to have the freedom to deal with their health the way you choose. You may feel that all medicine is bad and all doctors are evil. And you have a right to that. But by the way, that's not a true statement. All doctors are not evil. And everything about medicine is not evil. I'll show you how in a little while here. Or you may feel that if someone takes a natural approach and they're going to use all natural things, that they're participating in voodoo medicine. By the way, that's not a wrong statement either, nor a right statement. There are false religions all over the world that use what you consider natural things. Let's not criticize. You choose what you feel is best for you. Everybody understand that? Now, here we go. No medicine heals. Number one, only God heals. No doctor heals. Only God. No doctor heals. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 5. We started in Jeremiah chapter 8. I'm going to move you back to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, look at Jeremiah 5, Jeremiah 51. I knew something didn't look right there. It's probably because I can't read my own handwriting. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse number 8. The Bible says, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain. If so, be she may be healed. Interesting. By the way, God wrote the Bible, not man. Right. Jeremiah did not write this. God did. And the Bible says here that God tells Babylon it's fallen, and if she'll take balm for the pain, she can be healed. Notice who's doing the healing. God is. Now, the word balm, listen to this statement. The word balm means crushed under pressure or distilled. We read in Jeremiah 8 when we started, there was a verse that said, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am black and astonishment hath taken hold of me. And it also talks about, was there no physician there? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? If you go to a pharmacist to get drugs, do you know what the symbol for a pharmacist is? It's a mortar and pestle. Say, what is that? They would take the things necessary, grind them up, and turn them into the medications that you would take, whether they added water to it, whether no matter what it was. And by the way, they use distilled water, pure water. Even today, if you go to the pharmacy to pick up cough medicine for your children, usually comes in a powder form at the pharmacy. They put the right amount in there, put distilled water in it, and mix it up, and that's what they use. Okay? Everybody doing all right? Don't get too mad at me yet. You're going to get really mad at me in a little while here. The mortar and pestle is a symbol of the day to this day that's still used for medication. And I want you to know something. In Jeremiah chapter 8, the Bible says, is there no physician there? Talking about an actual doctor who prescribed the right medication for the right pain. Okay, now, I'm going to read a quote to you. I'll tell you who said it after I'm done. Our knowledge for science has already outstripped our capacity to control it. We have too many men of science and too few men of God. We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount. Man is stumbling blindly through a spiritual darkness while toying with the precarious secrets of life and death. The world has achieved brilliance without wisdom, power without conscience. Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. That statement was made by General Omar Bradley in the 1940s, general of the European theater in World War II. I want you to notice what he said. We have too many men of science and too few men of God. He said, we have the ability to create nuclear explosions to stop wars, but we don't have enough sense to listen to the Sermon on the Mount. Whew. That wasn't a doctor, that was a general who had watched thousands and hundreds of thousands of men wounded and die. Now, all forms of doctors, whether it be medical profession, whether it be what you would call a natural doctor, chiropractor, whatever you would like terminology to put there, tell you that they can only aid in the symptoms. They cannot heal you. Anybody that tells you that they can heal you, mark it down, stay away from them. And I don't care if they have R-E-V in front of their name. Okay, that's Reverend, just for those of you that don't spell, amen. Ernest Angley and Oral Roberts can't heal anybody. Folks, Americans are stupid. Oral Roberts claimed to be a faith healer and he had a hospital. Now, where's the sense in that one? If he could heal people, why do you have to build a hospital? We're stupid. Faith healers are fakes. They can't stop death. Nor can they stop the process of death. Now listen to this. The Bible says that Jesus is the balm of Gilead. He is that crushed medication that was distilled with purity. Say, what was he distilled with? Pure blood. Sinless blood. And that applied to the soul and to the spirit of man created healing so that we had eternal life. Now, so number one, medicine in any form, doctors, any form, cannot heal you. Only God can. Point number two. A healthy soul or a heart gives you better health. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. A healthy soul, a healthy heart gives you a better health. I must hurry. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 22. A merry heart doeth good like a, what's the next word? Medicine. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. Very interesting statement here. In your body, created in your blood cells, deep within your bone marrow, and I am not a medical doctor, but I have done a lot of research on this. There are what are known as killer cells in your blood. Those are healthy cells. It involves your white blood cells, okay? For best terminology, your white blood cells are your killer cells. If you stick your finger with a piece of 2x4 and you got a splinter in there and you pull that thing out to keep it from getting infected, those killer cells run there and eat at and try to kill all that potential infection, and they eat it away and kill it. That's exactly what God designed in your body to protect you from the everyday injuries of life and to make you a stronger person. Every person in this room has cancer cells in their body. Most of you have it under control because of these killer cells. Some don't. Some, the killer cells got outnumbered and now the cancer builds up. Now, listen to me very carefully. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 24, just a chapter back, says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Now, Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 4. I'm going to read one more verse to you, and then I'm going to teach you about this. Proverbs 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now, listen to me very carefully. These killer cells are made in the bone marrow of your body. Now, listen to me. Science, doctors, medical doctors, and natural doctors will tell you the happier your spirit, the healthier these killer cells are in your body. Do you ever notice that depressed people get sick more than people that are not depressed? Do you ever notice that people that walk around discouraged and grieving all the time end up sick all the time? They're killing the killer cells in their body. So the Bible says that if you have a good spirit, a good heart, you listen to pleasant words, and you're not destroying your spirit. By the way, it does not say you never get sick. You will not go through life without getting sick. Say why? Because you're in a process of dying. Who was the, what was the guy's name that used to exercise all the time on Jack LaLanne on television, you know? Here's this 85-year-old guy, does 100 push-ups on 3 chairs every day, you know? And then he eats nails for breakfast. But may I say this, he may have been in good shape, he may have been in good health, but he still died. I don't care how healthy you live, you're still gonna die. Now, listen to me very carefully. Keeping a healthy soul is as important to the body as putting the right food, putting the right medications, putting everything in your body that is right to put into your body and keeping everything wrong out of your body. Did you ever notice that, and don't get mad at me for saying this, but did you ever notice people that smoke cigarettes don't have a happy facial feature? And they're not happy generally? Can I tell you why? They're killing the killer cells in their body. Did you ever notice an alcoholic doesn't have a cheerful countenance? They're putting poison into their body and killing the killer cells. I would say that a person that does drugs doesn't have a happy countenance. If you've ever seen anybody on drugs, you know what I'm talking about. Look like a calf looking in a new gate. Now, you say, how do I keep a healthy spirit? Well, number one, you speak pleasant words, according to Proverbs chapter 17, and you only listen to pleasant words. And if you go back to what we talked about the other night, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, good report, be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So that's part of it. But you also turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I'll show you what God says about how to have a good spirit. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Watch this. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Look at me. God says, if you will avoid evil and fear the Lord, you'll have better health. Some of you have bad health because you listen to evil. Either evil music, evil people, you listen to gossip, you watch evil on television, you play evil games, and that evil will destroy your health. I'm telling you. God says if you'll depart from evil, it will be marrow to thy bones. Some of you would feel a whole lot better if you got rid of some friends. Some of you hang on to people that are evil and they're destroying your health. Did you ever get around somebody that no matter when you were around them, they depressed you? Those are the people God says avoid. Now, it doesn't say be unkind to them, but it says avoid evil. Boy, this is good.
Yes.
Some of you, by your association, make yourself sick. Some of you are killing the killer cells in your body by associating with somebody that used to be your friend who has turned evil, and now they are destroying you. Let me show you what I mean. I know Brother Lowther's at home. His MS took hold of him again today, and he's been down. But did you ever see him down in his spirit? Did you ever wonder why the doctor said he should have been dead 7 or 8 years ago, and he won't die? He outlived three doctors? Three doctors that told him he wouldn't live this long. He outlived the doctors that told him that. Say why? He avoided evil, amen? That man, if he is physically able to be up, and by the way, I've texted him back and forth all day long. He's okay, well, as okay as he can be from here up. You pray for him. He fell and cracked his coconut this morning when he was not feeling well. But rattled his cage. He said, man, he said, God hit me upside the head, but that one hurt. Wait a minute. He's still got a good spirit about him. That's what keeps him going. The reason he hasn't submitted to the MS is because he keeps those killer cells killing off everything it can to keep him going. Boy, that's a good statement. By the way, this is why you need to be at church. This is why you need to read your Bible. This is why you need to be around the right kind of people. Parents, this is why you need your teenagers to show up at the youth activities, whether they want to or not. I'm just telling you like it is. So, let's go to point number 3 because I got to hurry. This is not a good starting point, but I'm going to use it and I'm going to launch into something else and be done. Give me 5 or 6 minutes and I should be able to finish this. Do you realize that one of Jesus' disciples was a physician? Luke, the physician. Now, the word physician means one who prescribes medicine or one who stitches. That is literally, you want to look it up in your Greek, you want to look it up in your Hebrew, you'll find out both places it means one who prescribes medicine, or one who stitches. That's literally what the word means. If it was wrong to go to a doctor, Jesus was wrong, because he had one as his disciples. But at the same time, I don't think we ought to follow all the voodoo of science either. There's a reason they call it practicing medicine, because there's human error involved. Okay? Now, do you know what the first medical procedure was? God performed surgery on Adam, and he knew what bone to remove that would not affect him, and removed one of his ribs, knew that the rest of his ribs would heal, and God actually performed surgery, put Adam out under anesthetic, and woke him back up. I guess then all surgery is not bad. Everybody doing okay? Okay. God also gave man dominion over the earth. One of the commands God gave Adam in the garden was to have dominion over the earth. The word dominion means domination. That's a strong word. That means we were supposed to find all of the things that would help us and use those things to help us. By the way, that was given before the fall of man. Man, is it quiet in here. Now, let me do a little history for you, and I'm going to go two directions at the same time. You say it's not possible, but it is. The original aspirin came from willow bark. Came from the inside of willow bark. They would peel it out, grind it down into a powder, and you would take it. Problem was, it was so acidic that it was actually, or acrid, it was eating holes in people's stomachs, even though it did help them. By the way, if you look back in history, you'll find out that the Indians understood this, and they used willow bark often for people's pain. They would wet it and put it on somebody's cuts and different things to keep the infection from coming. Willow bark virtually is aspirin. Now, to this day, we do not use willow bark in our aspirin. Man found types of acids that were comparable, that were not as hard on your system. Now, just because you take an aspirin doesn't mean God hates your guts and he's going to judge you for it and you're going to die and go to hell early. Because I'm going to make a statement here. The very things that man found to use in replacement for the willow bark came from the same earth that the willow tree came from. There are people that... And by the way, I've used aspirin. I'm a user. I don't take a lot of aspirin, but I have taken many bottles full, I'm sure, in my lifetime. But at the same time, I know people that, and this is an exaggeration, don't get mad at me, I'm not picking on anybody, I don't know anybody in this room like this, but I have known people in my life that they walk around with a gallon of vinegar everywhere they go, and they think that that's natural. Can I tell you something? You won't find vinegar natural in nature. It is fermented juice. It's pre-wine. You don't go out to an apple orchard and pick an apple off and squeeze vinegar. And if you follow the logic, aspirin is no different in vinegar at that point in time because it becomes man-made. Now, whether you choose to use vinegar or aspirin, let's do this. Let's give everybody the liberty to use what they want and not criticize each other, whichever it is. That's all I'm asking. I'm not against either. I have used both, just so you know. Say, which one did you like? I like the aspirin or the vinegar because I can't stand the taste. But I remember, you get an aspirin and don't get that thing down the hatch right away and it starts dissolving on your tongue, or you use those old aspirin powders, amen? Whew. Now, I'm one of those people, I can swallow about 15 or 20 pills all in one shot. You know, when I take a handful of vitamins, I literally can take the whole handful at one time and just down they go. It doesn't bother me. And I don't even really need a glass of water. I just start swallowing. Yeah, every once in a while, you get one of them puppies stuck in the back of your throat. There's nothing worse than a multivitamin capsule about that big that gets stuck there. Man, I did that one morning. It's about 5:30. I'm going to work, and I could feel it right there. It was stuck. And all of a sudden, I coughed, and this yellow fog went poof. I said, well, it just broke, amen? I'm not kidding. And I'm talking 5-10 minutes later after I swallowed that thing. That is not the way to do that. I do use water when I do swallow those. Now, wait a minute. I'm not against either way you choose. But may I say this, even what you call chemical medications still come from Mother Earth, Father Earth. Everything comes from the ground. Don't worry, it's just the wind. Now listen to me very carefully. Man does not create something from nothing. It has to come from somewhere. This thing of, oh, we have to recycle plastic. We can't put it into the landfills because it'll take 300 years before it ever breaks down. Where do you think they got the plastic to begin with? The ground. We're not going to fill up the earth with plastic, just so you know. It came from the ground. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. Man has no ability to create. Man has the ability, look at me, to have dominion. That means we dominate the things that we have available to us. Let's say you choose natural. Great. Most of the things in your natural store come from weeds and would not be there had it not been for the fall of man. Just telling you. I'm not going to go into this real heavy, but what most of you think is organic is a farce. Some of you are paying a lot of money for something that's no different than if you just pick it up in the regular part of the store. It's literally no different. Check with the Department of Ag. Find out what the requirements are, and it's no different. But I'll use a chiropractor. Now, I'm not against you buying organic. I'm not against you raising your own animals. That's fine. I'm not against you going out and killing your own animals as long as it's legal the right way. I'm not against that. I hunt animals. I hunt deer, turkey, that kind of stuff. And I take and I use what I kill. And if I don't, I give it to somebody that can or does. I don't just go out and shoot and kill something and let it lay there. I'm against that as much as I am anything. Now, listen to me very carefully, and I'll be done. All of us are sinners. All of us are in a process of dying. All that man has and is corrupted by sin. And the earth itself is cursed by sin. God does the healing, not medicine, not doctors, not man. We can only aid in the symptoms. Killer cells in the body are directly affected by our attitude, and the better the attitude, the better our health. But just because you got a good attitude doesn't mean you won't get sick. Sickness is caused by sin and the corruption of sin in our body and the earth. Period. Just because you get sick doesn't mean God's judging you. Now, I know as you're hanging your head over that commode because you're about to throw up again, you're thinking, oh, God's judging me for something bad. You know, you're confessing every sin you think you're going to commit or have committed. Amen. God, just stop this. I promise. Let me say this. Let's not criticize for one another for how we seek the attention to our medical needs. That's all I ask. And by the way, be careful offering your opinion unless it's asked for. Ladies, that have had babies, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody in the world wants to tell you how to have that puppy and all the different things. Can I tell you something? Do you know why there are so many different types of aspirin? Because they don't all work the same for every person. Do you know why there's so many different kinds of diets? Because they don't all work for the same person. What works for you does not mean it will work for me. You know, my wife can take ibuprofen. I can't take that stuff very much. Ibuprofen bothers my stomach so bad, it's horrible. Now, I can take aspirin all day long, and it doesn't bother me. Now, wait a minute. There's not a whole lot of difference. But there is enough in the chemical makeup of our bodies to, by the way, that just proves we're individuals. And ladies, just so you know, the doctors can say this is your perfect weight, but nobody knows what your perfect weight is. Get to the weight you feel good at and stay there. Don't accept the weight as feeling good, though. Same goes for us men, amen? I'm working hard at it. And the older I get, the harder I got to work. Brother Ed just gave up. Now, wait a minute. Let's not criticize each other. Let's just decide we're going to stay as healthy as we can to help as many people as we can. Folks, we're not going to be on this earth very much longer. I believe the Lord's coming back. And if he doesn't, we're going to die. My whole goal is to help as many people as I can in the process. I'm not going to criticize you if you choose not to go to the doctor. I'm not going to criticize you if you choose to drink swamp water and pull tree bark off and feed it to your kids. All right, that's fine. That's up to you. I'm not drinking swamp water and I'm not eating tree bark. And there's food that you grind up and it makes it look like that. That's fine. What's that thing you called that thing, Mrs. Smith, a green smoothie? If it looks like you squeezed it out of a diaper, I ain't eating it. Okay? I don't care how healthy you think it is. I said that to her and she said, yeah, but your coffee's not healthy. I said, I didn't claim it was healthy. I just like it. Roloff thought all that food was sinful too, but flying's what killed him. Amen? Now, wait a minute. I don't care which route you choose. I'm not going to criticize her for those, yeah, whatever she calls that thing. I've stepped in things in a cow pasture like that before. I'm not about to put it down the hatch. Now, wait a minute. But at the same time, I think we need to use good sense. Good sense. I don't think that you ought to go unattended and just think, well, God's going to heal it. There are things out there. I believe there's people that have died and gone to heaven, and they said, God, how come you didn't heal me? And he said, I gave you the wherewithal to get healed, but you wouldn't go get help. I really believe that. I think that you ought to get help when you need help. I think you say, do you send people to the doctor? Yes. But I also send people to chiropractors, and there's times I send them to natural folks. I have the resources for all of them, and I'm not against any of it. I just am against us criticizing one another, thinking the other is evil. God said, if you'll work on your spirit, a lot of your health will be cared for. Not all of it. And just remember, we're all going to get sick. Say why? Because we're all cursed by sin, and so is this old earth. Can I tell you something? I want you to be healthy. That's why I preach sermons like I did this morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and the valley of Elah, and the valley of decision, trying to keep your spirit healthy. That's why I preach sermons to prevent bad things. That's why I'll preach so hard to your young people. That's why I'll preach hard at your kids about obeying you. Bible says if they'll obey you, they'll live long upon the earth. Whew. Some of you just need to decide you're going to teach kids to obey for their health's sake. Now, just because your child gets sick tonight doesn't mean they disobeyed you. Okay? But may I say this, some of us would have better health And some of you would have better killer cells in your body that would kill the infection in your body rather than you killing everybody around you. That is God's biblical approach to health. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, I'm not upset either way. I just want you to know what God said. He said, when you're sick and in pain, there's balm to take for it. And often it was prescribed by a physician. Whether you feel that's the natural way, whether you feel it's through a medical doctor, great. But realize that doctor can't heal you, nor does that medicine necessarily heal you. God does the healing. Let's do our best. Let's take God's approach.